Here's Higdon, it sits up nicely for Michael Higdon! And what a start for Motherwell! But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sutton! Magnificent Malt! Stephen Robinson celebrates! Motherwell, 2-1! Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. Tonight, myself, Andy and Pepe will discuss the appointment of Graeme Alexander as the new manager of Motherwell. We'll look back in Saturday's 1-1 draw with St Mirren, and we'll look ahead to Sunday's meeting with Rangers at Fir Park in the Scottish Premiership. Guys, welcome along.
All right, guys.
How are you doing?
Andy, I'll start with yourself. An appointment of Graeme Alexander this time last week as the new manager, following an interview process where, let's believe, there was three other candidates for the job: Keith Lasley, Tommy Wright, and also Simon Grayson. In the end, Alexander picked as the new manager. Now, we discussed this on last week's podcast, where we weren't really very committal as to who we wanted as the replacement. It's quite a hard choice, really, in terms of Alexander, who eventually went on to get the job. Our background knowledge of him wasn't substantial. I don't know whether it is now. The fact that we've had three goes at recording the start of this podcast suggests that mine certainly isn't. But he did achieve promotion through the playoffs with Fleetwood down south. He did the same with Salford City, getting them into the Football League from the National League. So he has had experience of success in his years as a manager. Now, this is his first dip into the waters of Scottish football, and I'm sure that it would have been a bit of an awakening seeing the team playing Saturday and maybe even looking at the team's league position. He knows that there's a lot of work ahead. Let's start with your feelings when the appointment was made. How did you feel about the appointment, and how do you feel now?
Still very much non-committal, as you said. As you kind of ran through there, he's got a measure of success, certainly with teams of a kind of similar stature, perhaps greater budget, you might imagine, or definitely greater budget in the case of Salford. But, you know, clubs of a similar size to ourselves anyway. So I'm quite intrigued to see how he kind of goes. As I think we said last week, he's certainly getting awareness of the kind of market that we have been looking to recruit players from, which will stand us in good stead, and it's certainly going to bring a freshness with the fact, is, again, as you mentioned, that he's not managed in the league before. Our kind of club has been well known for the pathway that it has provided for a number of players in the past, and it may be that, well, he's not said as much in the kind of media, that it may be viewed in the same light in terms of gaining greater exposure for him for progressing his career, you know, off the park. So not that I'm hunting him out the door after a week or anything, but, you know, if there is that incentive there, if that is what his aspirations lie, then he's going to get the challenge, certainly for part. He's going to get the exposure much more than he would perhaps have gotten another lower league job in England. We'll have to look at what he said, and certainly the interviews that he's been involved with have been encouraging. Said a lot of good things. Picked up on a few things that we've kind of speculated on. You know, things like perhaps about, you know, disagreements behind the scenes in the camp and bits and bobs like that, and an appreciation of the squad's kind of abilities. It was good to see that they appear to be receptive to his methods. He referred to that, you know, having only had the one day's kind of training session. So he certainly seems to be picking up things that we've kind of discussed or things that have been speculated upon by the kind of support at large. So very much a case of seeing how it goes. The interesting thing was the fact that he's retained the existing coaching staff, plus he's added to it with his own appointment in Chris Lucchetti. So we've got certainly there's a fair pool of talent in there, both knowledge of the team from the previous regime and you know, different styles and kind of knowledge that they've brought for their own time together, you know, working as a partnership. So it's interesting times lie ahead. What that all means for us in terms of our position, it's difficult to sort of say at the moment. You know, we need a kind of greater amount of kind of games to work on just now, but certainly things were a wee bit more encouraging in Saturday in terms of the first half at least. And you know, I'm sure we're going to talk about the game itself, but you know, it was unfortunate that it was a pretty shocking penalty decision away from potentially getting a win in his first start. But it kind of bodes well for going forward, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and Pepe, we'll touch on the St Mirren game in more depth in 5 minutes or so. But the backroom staff situation is one that Andy picked up on there. Chris Lucchetti comes in, I believe he's been the assistant to Graeme Alexander throughout his managerial career. So he's brought his own man in, but Keith Lasley also remains at the football club. So we're operating with two assistant managers at this moment in time. You've also got Maurice Ross, who's still part of the coaching setup. Craig Hinchcliffe retained as goalkeeping coach. And there's not been any mention of the head of recruitment, Martin Foyle, leaving the club as yet. So it looks like he also remains in place. So I think that the focus and the players that were on the radar prior to the arrival of Graeme Alexander will possibly still be very much the same. I'm sure Graeme Alexander's knowledge of the lower leagues down south will come in useful when it's a market that we've delved into before. Do you think that the mixture of two new faces that will be coming at the club with fresh eyes, a fresh approach and fresh ideas, combined with the experienced guys that the likes of Keith Lasley, who's been there for many, many years, will know what issues there were behind the scenes, be able to steer Graeme Alexander in the right direction? Do you think that's going to be a good dynamic and one that could be very fruitful for us going forward?
I think the factor in it is a sentimental factor that Keith Lasley is a kind of club legend. He's very, very popular. And I think if it wasn't somebody with the kind of status that he holds at the club, I would possibly look at it differently. Like, I was really surprised to see Maurice Ross still kicking about, being quite involved on Saturday. I don't think this will be a long-term thing. Me personally, would I like to see Keith Lasley in charge at Mullerow at some point? I know we've not really that's not what the point is, but I probably would at some point, only if he goes away and gets a job elsewhere and then gets the experience and comes back. I don't think that's got a long-term thing. I really don't. Finances alone, I mean, that's us getting an extra member of the coaching staff. I just don't really think that it's needed. I just hope that if it does end, that Keith earns in good terms. That's me looking into the future. I think what's probably for the best is that we stay together. Keith stays there with Maurice Ross until the end of the season, and then I think there'll be kind of talks then to see where things are going. I think at the start of the game, I kind of seen the difference when just as they were coming out and the cameras panned around and they see Graeme Alexander and Chris Lucchetti coming up and Keith Lasley's kind of sitting in the dugout away almost himself. And I kind of immediately thought, I don't think this has got legs in it. But I hope I hope that I'm wrong, and it does prove to be a good fit. Just in relation to Graham Alexander, I think it's quite a bold appointment for the club. I've had time to think about it and reflect on it. I mean, you look at our previous appointments, the likes of not taking McGee out of the equation, but the likes of Gannon and Barraclough were complete unknowns to us. I would say Graham Alexander's quite a high-profile appointment. I'm kind of three-quarters of the way through watching the Class of 92. He's got, obviously, 40 caps with Scotland. He's got a great reputation down south for his kind of work ethic. Played up to he was 40. Everybody that speaks to him, when he's on the Class of 92, mixing with David Beckham and stuff, so his contacts are centred on it. And he has I don't want to say a household name, but he's a well-known name. So I think it's quite an exciting move, but just like everybody else, it's one that every appointment's going to be risky, but I think it's the fresh voice. Certainly had me up for it on Saturday. I was more looking forward to the game. I was more looking forward to seeing what his teams were. I was looking forward to seeing what the substitutes were, if Keith still had an influence. And something to say about his character is that a lot of the managers that you see that take the job, so he took the job late Thursday night. He only met with the players on the Friday. A lot of these managers would possibly have said, right, I'll wait until the Monday before I take the reins. Maybe the Rangers game, he could see a chance in Motherwell sneaking a victory and he wanted his first victory. But it shows you that you get right stuck in right for the start, which certainly get brownie points for me. So overall, I think that Keith Lasley and Maurice Ross, at least one of them will move on. I don't think financially it makes sense for us to have such a kind of a amount of staff there. And I think that it'll work short term, but I really just don't think that it's going to be there in the long term.
Do you know you're on mute, Andy?
No, I had no idea. Andy, I just want to touch on something else that Pepe said there. He mentioned Graham Alexander being relatively high profile and reasonably well known. Now, I did a bit for the programme for the Rangers game and mentioned the fact that we've had a mixture of managers coming in for their first job, right back from Alex McLeish onwards, where you would have the likes of Eric Black stepped into his first managerial role. Stephen Robinson was relatively unknown. Terry Butcher didn't have a great deal of experience either before he was given the job. So we've kind of went with the tried and tested, and then we've looked for more experienced heads at times as well. This is somewhere in the middle, isn't it? Like, you've got the pedigree of achieving relative success down south and now coming into the Scottish game. Just in terms of an introduction, though, what would you say that the target would be for a manager coming in, given the club situation at the moment, given the present time, and it could be for another 6 months to a year that there's no supporters on the ground? Does expectations go down given the current climate?
I don't really see that too much has changed in terms of where the club kind of want to be. There is, I think, as you rightly say, there's an element, or there's going to be an element of marking time as much as they can with the situation as it is. But the overall kind of strategy of the club hasn't changed. The targets, kind of short term and kind of medium term, aren't really different. So I think he's going to be operating, and the expectations and targets that he's been set are going to be much akin to those that Robinson were working towards. Namely, first and foremost, you keep the club in the top flight. You progress as far as you can up the table. You progress as long as you can through the cup competitions. And you try and sell a player to solidify the club's future and allow them to invest in the infrastructure of the club and make it as assured as possible. And I don't see any of that changing, whether it was Tommy Wright, whether it was Simon Grayson, or whether it, as it's ended up, you know, Graham Alexander. So I don't see any kind of difference in that. We have to look at his own targets, and sensibly hasn't disclosed them, but he did say his aspirations were to better those set in terms of league position than what the club had expected them to do. And he's been kind of quite measured and quite sensible. You refer, was it Barraclough? Was coming out? It was attributed to him saying that he wanted to win the league. That's one of these kind of things that, you know, ultimately all he's really saying is if he can't win the league, he wants to finish up as high as possible. And, you know, it has to be taken with a bit of context, a comment like that. Whereas Alexander's been a wee bit more kind of sensible in what he says. He's kept those kind of relatively close to his chest, but, you know, he's said what we want to hear, that, you know, he's aspiring to better the team as much as it possibly can. But ultimately, no, I still think it's going to be along similar lines to the targets that were set for Stephen Robinson.
Yeah, I think Barraclough is very much stitched up and kind of a small soundbite taken to be the kind of sword they fell on by the end, really, because even right up until the final day, it was always mentioned, it was always referred to in kind of jovial terms. But I think the comment was something like, you've got to believe you can be the very best you can be. Who's to say that we can't challenge Rangers or Celtic? And that was kind of spun to, we're going to win the league, which was quite far off what ended up happening. But we did get these two wonderful playoff games that we'll talk about on every podcast until this podcast finishes. The other thing, Pepe, is going to be the player management side of things. Now, we've talked about it plenty of times before, that there's a fair few players that perhaps don't look like they want to be at the football club anymore. There's a few players that are in demand from elsewhere. There's a few players that are underperforming. Now, anytime a new manager comes in, it's straight away regarded as a clean slate, and the new manager's always keen to say that everybody will get their chance. Whether that's always the case, I'm not so sure, but the team on Saturday was relatively consistent with the team that finished up under Stephen Robinson and played for Keith Lasley in his temporary game in charge against Hamilton. Is it going to be a challenge for the manager to turn around the attitude of these players? There's certain ones that haven't been performing or maybe have had their heads turned by interest from elsewhere. I can't imagine that a new manager is going to change that. The lure of more money or a team with a bigger fan base might be too much, and these guys might be lost causes.
Well, I think certainly the main one that we're talking about there is, for me, Stephen O'Donnell, Declan Gallagher. Declan Gallagher, I wasn't aware of this clause in his contract. That's going to be the main thing. So he's got another 5 games to go, or it's another year in his contract, which is a massive bonus for us. But I think certainly by looking at it on Saturday, some of the players that I've been critical of on here certainly looked as if they had put the effort up a good bit. I think there's always going to be the it's easy to say for the likes of Stephen O'Donnell, he's not interested, he doesn't want to be here. It's easy to say that because he's not got the contract. Declan Gallagher's, he's a Celtic fan, he's wanting to go to Celtic. But that's understandable at the end of the day. I've said that. Footballers have got the same ambitions as what we've got in life. And if somebody comes chapping the door, then, as I've said, we've had better players than what we've left the club before, and we've always rebuilt and rebuilt. I think that's one main difference, though, that just come back slightly, sorry, to the manager. I think he's alluded to this as well, that it's going to be different for him. He's now, obviously we had a discussion before, but he's always been chasing promotion, so it's going to be a different mindset for him. This season, unfortunately, he's going to be trying to get into the top 6. So that alone will be different for him. But I think even you've seen, with regards to the players, there was no bounce when Keith took them on. There was nothing at all. And that's not any criticism towards Keith. I just think it was the same old, and maybe a bit of, or we'll probably just pump backies because they're rank rotten. And it was maybe just the wrong attitude. And maybe just that wee bounce is going to get us. I was quite really impressed with the first half. Actually, I think sent in the group chat that we've got that I really enjoyed it. And then the second half was just kind of a same old, whether or not they were just trying to hold on to their win. So overall, it's hard to say about the attitude of the players, how they're going to react. I think they're still needing a bit of freshness in there with players coming in. And I'm surprised that we haven't actually been linked to anybody. I've tried to look at kind of a play. Personally speaking, I mean, where Alexander's just came from, League 2, Salford, I there probably is gems down there, but I don't know if that is still the market that we're in, because obviously recently it's not really worked out, has it? But listen, it's early. We're one game into it, and an improvement, and we'll see. I've got a wee sneaky feeling that we'll maybe pinch a couple of points in Sunday.
Well, there we go. That's certainly a bold prediction. A couple of points, are you meaning three? Are we going to win? That's ending 19 years of nothingness against Rangers. That would be quite something.
I don't know why. I think that it's probably just I've been that negative for so long that I think that, and Rangers have kind of they've not been looking great, and it's kind of just written in the stars, I think, that this will be a time that we'll get a draw, or that's it, and I'll probably come back on next time we're saying, talking about a 5-0 defeat. But no, I'm never going to say I'm confident, but something, I don't know, I've got a wee feeling that we're going to cause a wee bit of upset and get the, we've done it before with that type of team, so listen, maybe I'll get into the team talk.
Well, that's certainly you going full circle. If you were being a bit negative to going on and beating Rangers for having lost this season and only dropped points in two occasions, and we've not won in what, 11 games. Yeah, that's certainly the positivity that we need.
That's the mother way, but listen, that is the mother way. Well, we're quick enough to say, listen, see when there's a team that's getting beat every week and they come to first part, oh, they'll get their 3 points. But Mullerow are the type of team that have been nothing sort of rotten. I've said I've not enjoyed a game. We're the type of team that will go out here in Sunday and cause an upset. I'm not going to sit and say I'm 100% sure or whatever, but I'm actually really looking forward to it. And it could end up having the best start as a manager. I don't know whether if it's just if my dinner's causing me to be delirious or what, but I definitely think that with all the stuff, all the negativity surrounding Celtic and all the stuff that's happened, Mullerow will always end up in the headlines. If you look back to times where we beat Rangers 3-0 at Firth Park when put Aberdeen in the driving seat, we beat Celtic in the last game of the season. This Rangers are monitoring on, they're everything's positive. And then we Mullerow come up and I think we're going to do it in Sunday.
Let's look at the game against St Mirren. Pepe, I'll start with yourself. You mentioned that the fact that the first half was positive. In fact, I think it would be fair to say that we should have been out of sight by half time. Missed a couple of real gilt-edged chances. Didn't take them. Devante Cole scored an excellent opener to put us ahead, though. And we looked pretty comfortable, but you know yourself from watching us for many years that 1-0 is never going to be enough, and that proved to be the case. The circumstances we lost a goal in, though, were quite farcical. There's nobody that has watched that back and thought it was a penalty. And it's a really sore way to be cost 3 points, three deserve points over the 90 minutes. I was quite surprised to even see some Mern fans on Twitter saying that they felt that they deserved the point and it was a fair result over the 90 minutes. Now, I'm not saying there that St Mirren didn't come back into the game somewhat in the second half, but they still posed very little threat. Liam Kelly had a very accomplished and comfortable debut. To be cost 3 points in the manager's first game by a horrendous bit of refereeing by Bobby Madden, it's a bitter pill to swallow, and it keeps the poor run going as well. We're not carrying any luck as well as not really performing very well just now. And that's another element that Graham Alexander's going to have to address. He certainly got the new manager bounce in terms of the energy levels. And I'd say the performance was slightly improved without being anywhere near remarkable. But something has to change in terms of getting that wee stroke of luck, whether that be the ball good enough for someone's arse to win a game in the 89th minute, or just maybe a team like Rangers having a really bad day and allowing us to take advantage of it. But it just feels when your luck's out, it properly is out sometimes.
I certainly, I couldn't believe it when he pointed to the spot. Firstly, this is the first time I've ever said this as well. I thought McGabby looked pretty decent. Now, whether that's because he had a more commanding keeper and more confidence in the keeper behind him. But I did say to you guys before the game, I'm just going to bet give away a penalty. It was never
definitely
a
some mind-bending drugs going on here tonight. McGabby positivity, come on.
I'm not convinced it's actually him.
Right, well, listen, what I'm going to say is he had a good game. However, there's a but, right? There is a but. Seen another game, he could get lucky a few times with his crazy runs up the park, and he pulled off the passes. But there's other times in games where he would just, let's see if he does that on Sunday. That my positivity will be the window in 5 minutes. It wasn't a penalty, right? But just before I came on, I watched it back and listened to something that Jim Goodman had said, and he actually said, which sounds silly, but if you actually watch it back after this, he said he heard like a challenge, like a thud, a bang. And now that, when you actually watch it, there is a kind of, it sounds like two players kicking one another. And if you look at the way McGabby has been, he was really clumsy. His hands are all over the place, his body's out as if he's trying to change direction. And I think that's influenced the referee, unfortunately. I'm not trying to back up Bobby Mann because I thought he had an absolute shocker of a game. But these things just go against us.
If I can jump in, I think you've got a point there. I think Bobby Madden, certainly the perception is that Bobby Madden has given so many penalties against Motherwell over such a long period that it's automatically in his mindset, oh, that must be a penalty. We just don't get any benefit of the doubt from him. And his immediate reaction, if there's any element of doubt in there, all right, they've given away so many penalties in the past, it must be a penalty again.
I mean, these things, we just need to march on. There'll be a result, as you say, we've not had much luck recently. Maybe that'll change. St Mirren did have a few decent chances. They had one in the second half particularly. I think it was the boys at Erahan that should have bulged the net. And who knows what it would have been. And then a great save for Liam Kelly. But what a save for Marco Harris. Free kick as well. Tony Watch had a buried one in the first half. Devante Cole had another chance. So it was much better. I think one thing that I'd said before was that we weren't creating. And as I said before, I enjoyed the first half. It was like getting off the seat, first time in a while that I enjoyed watching a stream. But I don't think that we could have been overly disappointed that it was a draw. I think if they had scored for open play and it wasn't a dodgy penalty, then we would have said, yeah, maybe a draw was a fair result. So I think sometimes we're getting a bit clouded that we deserved the 3 points because it was a shitey penalty, but they should have probably scored at least one. So I'm probably taking my positive hat off now, and I'm going to say I think the draw wasn't too far away, to be honest. I don't think that we've done enough in the second half to close the game out. But the positives to take from it, I thought Polworth looked as if he was up for the fight. I thought Gallagher looked good. Mugabe, as I've said, looked much improved, but I think that'll be a one-off. I think that Campbell was still quiet. Tony Watts, his usual self. Devante Cole looks better. Jake Cashday looks as if he's getting there, trying hard, giving effort. But then, again, because we're playing Rangers in Sunday, he'll not be able to be involved. And that'll be one interesting factor to see what formation he plays. And because obviously we've lost Lang, we've lost Hasty for this game. I don't know what the situation is with Long. Does he change the formation? Does he give Jordan Wright a shout? Because I'll be honest with you, that's the one thing that I was really interested to see if he'd brought him on, whether that was Keith Lasley's kind of influence. But he's not really brought much to the table at all, Jordan Wright. So that's one interesting thing I think he came on in about 25 minutes. And I was like, oh, here we go. But we'll just need to wait and see before we could have changed the forward three. Seedorf seems to be right out the picture. Whether or not he'll just slot into where Hasty is, I think that would probably be the most obvious thing. But overall, certainly better. If you look back to some of the performances, Hamilton Aki's, the St Johnstone performance, the Hibs performance, a complete turnaround. Alright, we didn't get the 3 points, but attitude, fight, determination, and probably that's why I'm a wee bit more positive, that actually seen that they actually gave a shit on Saturday. They looked disheartened that they didn't get the 3 points. I liked O'Hara back into the middle of the park, and I really did quite enjoy it, and that's probably why I think we're going to minimum draw on Sunday.
Andy, is it the case that nervousness kind of kicks in as well? We've mentioned that the team got a wee bit deeper as the game went on. Perhaps drawn in previous experiences where we've surrendered the lead or conceded a late goal. And while the penalty shouldn't have been, it kind of almost felt inevitable that there was going to be a twist in the tail, because we've just kind of grown so used to it since basically Halloween. Following that Livingston victory, things just haven't been at any point comfortable for us. And I think you can tell that the players are out the habit of winning just now, and that pretty much creates these moments like we saw against St Mirren.
That's possibly it. It's difficult to kind of put your finger on it. I mean, certainly St Mirren started the second half a lot better, and you would expect that from a team that's behind at half time. You're looking for the reaction. They've had the break where their managers had an opportunity to tweak things, kick a few backsides, whatever the case may be. So you're expecting some kind of a reaction from them. But really, I mean, I don't recollect what is actually having, or the goalkeeper having many saves to make. So for all they had an element more of possession, they were more threatening. I don't know that I actually felt particularly, you know, nervy about seeing the game out. There was definitely scope for us to play better, certainly. But, you know, I didn't feel that we were under a massive amount of kind of pressure. It certainly wasn't backs to the wall. So it's kind of difficult. I mean, it may be the case that you're right. It's just that it's been that long since we've won a game that there's a kind of desperation just to try and see the points and see it out. And, you know, there's that kind of, you know, almost like a slightly negative attitude comes in, and where you're just quite content to hold what you have rather than, you know, push for a second and what you would have expected to, you know, a clinching goal. And so it's maybe something for the, you know, the manager to work on, whether it's down to mentality, whether it's just down to organisation, how we try and kind of change things, whether there's more required from us for certain players in the team to kind of drive us further up the park. You know, that's something that will become apparent, I think, over the next few weeks when the managers get more opportunity to kind of work with the players. But I feel we were a wee bit unfortunate. That what it boils down to, I think, as we've kind of mentioned before, any point that you can take away in the top flight is never a bad result. But I felt that it was in the immediate aftermath of it, it was points dropped rather than a point gained. Particularly so with the next couple of fixtures coming up. But you know the context of that point, how important that is, will become clear as the kind of season wears on further.
I'll stick with you, Andy, and Sunday's game against Rangers provides a fairly substantial challenge. Pepe has said that the Rangers perhaps not been as convincing in recent weeks, though it's hard to get away from the fact that when they need to win, they seem to be able to come up with that result. They were fairly comfortable, I think, against Aberdeen at Pittodrie last Sunday. The previous week, they opened the year with a victory over Celtic in the derby, which put them miles clear at the top. And it looks for all the world that they're going to end Celtic's dominance and claim the title. They'll be in great spirits given the week that Celtic have had, and we'll finish the podcast by talking a wee bit about the week that's been in Scottish football. But focusing on the task at hand, is this one that kind of just need to get out the road? The following week, we've got a trip to Pittodrie. There's a trip to Ross County still to come this month as well, before hosting Dundee United in our first game of February. So there's big games coming up, especially that County game, which looks like the proverbial six-pointer even towards the end of January. Do you go out there with a nothing-to-lose approach, or do you perhaps be a bit more conservative and try not get doing, basically, which we did in the fixture at Fir Park earlier on in the season? Of course, at Ibrox, we did get our noses in front before going on to lose 3-1 late on. There's nothing that suggests to me that we can get a result out of this game, to be perfectly honest. And I don't know how to approach it either. I would say that if we set our stall out to try and contain them, their quality will show over the 90 minutes, but it might help keep the scoreline respectable. It's very hard to be positive given a record against Rangers in the league as well.
Yeah, I'm kind of regurgitating stuff I probably said before the game at Ibrox at the start of December, and in some respects it's a kind of no win scenario, unless you win, obviously. But the approach that you take, you know, I can guarantee if we go out there on Sunday and he adopts a defensive negative formation and you maybe lose by a couple of goals, there's a kind of nothing game. The type of games that we have kind of routinely in the recent past against the Old Firm is exactly as you said. You just kind of get it out of the way. You lose by a couple of goals. The goal difference doesn't take a massive hammer on that set. You move on to the next game. I can guarantee that I'll be skimming through Twitter and Steelmen Online and wherever else, saying, "Ah, but that's rubbish. I just want to see us have a go. At least if we have a go, then we'll tried to win a game, take the positives." And then on the flip side to that, you're going to see if you do go out there, you try and go win the game, you throw caution to the wind, you go forward, you end up taking a hammer before five goals. Ah, we should have played it tight. You know, play a defensive formation so you don't take the hammer you get for the goal difference and we get the game out of the way. So it's one of these ones where, you know, I can guarantee you, regardless how it goes, if it doesn't go our way, then we're going to read these things and hear these things said. It just illustrates the difficult nature of the fixture. There is an element in it. I've seen a couple of people refer to it about the, going back to our pal Barraclough again, about the fact that he was relatively fresh and unknown to everything that comes with an Old Firm fixture. And Alexander's, in some respects, will be the same. he's not going to go in there with the same kind of perhaps fears or the kind of expectations of what's going to be there. He's going into it fresh, and granted he's going to have that coaching staff there that know all about it, and he's got players that will have him well versed and what have you. You know, it may be that it makes a difference in the same way that, you know, the approach that Barraclough took in the kind of playoff games made a significant positive difference. Clearly, we're not talking the same calibre of Rangers team, and arguably, we're not even talking about the same calibre of Motherwell team. So they're the kind of comparison might well end, but you know, it may be a factor. Like yourself, I don't really see where the win's going to come from just now. For me, you're looking for kind of baby steps of progress. If we can put in an accomplished performance, if we can live with them for however long in the game, if we could even sneak a point, that would be fantastic. But I can't see us, and with the run that they're on, the fact that they don't have like loads of other fixtures just now, they've got the ability to kind of pick who they want to pick. There's no concerns about rotation for European games or anything like that. So they're largely going to be as strong as they kind of want to be. You've already mentioned the fact that we're Hasty out, we've lost Lang. I think there's some movement potentially being speculated on about an incoming player, so we may have something in there as well, but it's going to be a difficult ask for the team, put it that way.
Listen, these good runs have got to come to an end, as has bad runs, and I just think that I don't know why, I think that there's something written in the stars for us in this game. I think that the fact that we've got a new manager, there's been a wee bit of improvement. Everything, as I've already, I'm probably just going to regurgitate and probably try to convince myself that I'm not just making this up. But I really think that everything's went positive for Rangers. And I think it's our time on Sunday that we're going to, whether it be a draw, a draw is like a win in a game like that, and it creates this kind of a headline that we're involved in that title kind of a story again. Not that I'm interested in that, but I don't know why I'm as positive. I'll maybe not be positive when I see the team on Sunday.
I've seen it before. I mean,
exactly.
Going back,
that's exactly.
I was at Parkhead, like when we were something like about 7 or 8 games we won, and we went there and beat them 2-0. Clearly, there was the relegation run that we needed to go there and beat Rangers in the playoff. Sorry, to avoid the playoff.
Nine in a row. That was a 9-in-a-row game as well, wasn't
it? I mean, there's certainly evidence there in the past, but you know, it's few and far between. But you're quite right. I mean, it's certainly doable.
No, I mean, I'm just looking forward to the next podcast where I come on and I'm gloating, saying that used to are negative, and I was right.
Well, that's gloating as well.
But the thing is, I think we're all in agreement of the fact that if we do get a result of any sort on Sunday, then we'll certainly be all on here, possibly upside down because we're not doing handstands. But I think that to go from the run that we're on to suddenly ending an unbeaten run of a team that have battered us twice already this season, it feels like a bit of a stretch for me. And while I've not had a positive dinner like you have, I just can't see it. So maybe I'll change up my diet for the next couple of days and just copy whatever you're having in your meal plan, and that'll make the difference. But no, I just can't see it. It would completely change the landscape for the new manager as well if we were to get a result, though. I think that's a good point that you've made. You can imagine the feeling of indifference that I think we've kind of all alluded to a wee bit, that we've not got excited about the appointment of Graeme Alexander, but we're not disappointed by it either. It's kind of just a, all right, this is how we go forward. Now we need to see the results changing. And I think to get a result against Rangers and end the, what is it, 18 years and a month now since Boxing Day 2002, to do it in your first home game as manager, wow, that would be a big one to get the fans.
Then all the eyes are flashing the pan when you get beat 4-0 with Aberdeen the next weekend.
But that's the Motherwell way. But and I know that we hate seeing the Motherwell roller coaster, right? But it is. That's exactly what will happen. We'll end up beating exactly. Rangers, drawing with Aberdeen, and then getting beat 5-0 with Ross County. I don't know why I'm thinking this way tonight, but I just think all these factors is pointing right at Motherwell to say, there you go. There's the new manager's first victory. I can see him getting interviewed in Sky and getting the two fingers up to Gary Neville and for his Salford carry on. But listen, if you're not positive about it, then I don't know. But look at the difference. And this isn't a slight in Steve Robinson tonight, because I was one of his biggest fans. But see, if Robinson hadn't resigned, I would have been like, oh my God, I'm dreading this. So I must have the new manager bounced. So if I've got it, let's just hope that the players have got it.
Let's finish it up by discussing the week in Scottish football. And it's been as mad a week as there has ever been, I think. Well, kind of starts back in the 2nd of January when Celtic decided to bugger off to Dubai for a warm weather training camp. That was on the back of them losing in the Old Firm game to go, what I think at that point it was 19 points behind in the race for the league title. Bang in the middle of a national lockdown, a global pandemic, still taking its toll massively on the world. They then return and Christopher Julien, who at the start of the year was ruled out for the rest of the season with an injury, he's tested positive for COVID-19. Now, you surely wouldn't take your injured player over to the warm weather training camp, would you? No, of course they would. He went forced the isolation of the 13 players and three members of their backroom staff, including the manager, their team captain. The SPFL then refused Hibs's request to have the Celtic players retested on the day of their match, which took place on the Monday. That match having already been rearranged for the Monday without Hibs's consent. The game goes ahead, the Hibs end up getting a draw, and fair play to Hibs for turning up and going along with this, because it had been a complete and utter shit show from the minute Celtic departed. I've not mentioned the fact that there was pictures of the players clearly not adhering to social distancing rules and sitting poolside enjoying pint. The entitlement of Celtic throughout this has been quite staggering, and that's from a club that are not unfamiliar with being entitled. It's been horrendous to follow. Now, tonight was the hearing for the postponed games against St Mirren and Kilmarnock. We'll find out whether we're going to have to play these games, whether we'll be awarded the 6 points as was initially the case. Kilmarnock have tweeted in the last 5-10 minutes that their hearing has been held, and they'll update supporters as soon as they're aware of the outcome. So at this moment in time, we don't know. There is going to be a free weekend because League One and League Two football has been suspended. That has also led to the suspension of Scottish Cup games. We were drawing against Fermartin or Annan. The game's due to be played on the 30th of January. Now, that would have perhaps been a window to play one of these games against St Mirren and Kilmarnock. That's no longer the case either, because they've rearranged league games for those dates. So the 30th of January is going to be a free weekend for ourselves. It's kind of hard to really work out what's going to go on with this appeal. And what I can certainly predict, though, is that there's going to be a hell of a reaction to this. Celtic are going to be subject to an investigation by the compliance officer, as far as I'm aware. The Scottish Government have condemned Celtic's trip, although they did give permission to it, albeit back in November. Andy, I think I've pretty much ticked as many of the boxes as I possibly can here. And the exasperation in my voice is really just indicative of sheer frustration with the whole situation. We've talked about the risk of football being stopped, and that is still a very, very realistic possibility at this moment in time. Now, teams in League One and League Two of Scotland have already suffered badly through this pandemic. They've got no income through supporters coming through the turnstiles. They'll have loss of hospitality. There's a lot of factors in play here. Now, Peter Lawwell then comes out yesterday and says that Celtic have suffered more than anyone else through the effects of COVID-19. It's just, it's lunacy, really. And you can't help but think that this trip inadvertently is going to come into play when Kilmarnock and St Mirren's hearing was heard tonight, because why wouldn't you make that as one of your reference points? No, the circumstances don't mirror what happened in the cancellations of both of those games, but it's certainly a tool or a bit of armour that they can use to kind of fight this appeal. And I think they will now be successful just on the back of what must be the most crazy week in Scottish football history.
Aye, it's we certainly haven't helped ourselves in some respects. I say us, as in Scottish football. Taking it way back to your first point, I wasn't that at first about, in principle, about Celtic going to their training camp. I accept it's not a good look whatsoever, but that's solely on them. But there's teams going back and forward for European competition. There's officials going back and forward for European competition. So technically what they're doing there is no different. So long as they do what they're meant to do, now it's became apparent that they haven't. And that's where things start to, questions are rightly asked. But the actual trip itself, no great issues with that, other than the fact that, I don't know whether there's any truth in it, but apparently Hibs, the fixture with Hibs had to be moved to the Monday night as a consequence of it, and that they were given permission to do that. And personally, if that was the case, then I'd have hunted them and whatever costs had to be incurred if they come back a day earlier, 2 days earlier, then so be it. However, assuming all is well with that, they're kind of trip away. I have no real any objections to. But thereafter, then it's not really on some of the evidence that's become clear. The kind of ongoing stuff with the appeals is just pretty shambolic, and we've went over the kind of rights and wrongs it before. And I think initially the vast majority are Motherwell fans. There was an element of frustration, and quite rightly, because us as supporters, far less the team, had been like buying packages to watch the game up to like an hour or whatever beforehand. So it was a pain in the arse, if nothing else, for supporters, far less the team actually going to prepare. But ultimately, you think, right, okay, that's fine. There's an element in here, and what you need to keep in mind as well is the potential that our players could pick that up and through no fault of their own end up, we miss fixtures or the kind of spotlight gets turned on us through our kind of mixing with St Mirren players or Kelly players or whatever. So there's an element of kind of sympathy there. It was a surprise when obviously when we got the points awarded to us. But it's just shambolic thereafter. The length of time it takes to get to the point where, okay, we'll allow you appeal, and those 6 points that you've had and have completely changed the context to how you've played games and how you might have finished games, knowing you've got these 6 points in the bag, completely changes. So we get shafted there again. And then you get the fact that, yeah, you can appeal, but you need to wait like 3 weeks or something for it to be heard. And then it emerges today that you might not actually hear the outcome of it, and it could be potentially next week. It's like, just get it sorted. How long does it need to take? I mean, honestly, they came out with like a fairly, to my mind, a fairly comprehensive, to the point I was like really surprised with the kind of depth of the kind of reasoning behind their ruling. So they seemed quite assured with the fact that, whether it was right or wrong, what St Mirren and Kelly had done, he seemed fairly kind of clued up in why they had taken the action that they did. So, but we've just been strung along here, and you know, you're then going to be looking to, as gamers discussed before, you're looking to potentially squeeze in these fixtures. You know, there are games that's being called off for the weather and such like as well, which is always a kind of concern, and you see the implications of that. We're still to sort of get the Scottish Cup games, which have been delayed as well, and now we've got the potentially two fixtures through no fault of our own. And we seem to be getting a fair amount of stick for having the temerity of being like pissed off that this has dragged on for something like 2 or 3 months through absolutely no fault of our own. So, you know, I think I kind of, a lot of supporters have went for the point, well, see, if you do get, you lose your points, well, tough titty, you know, but we'll see. We'll see what they eventually determine. But you know, a lot of the kind of initial sympathy and that was there is kind of ebbed away. And when there are these breaches, it's like, you know, there's a kind of growing calls for just, well, just throw the book at them, whoever it is. Now, that kind of concerns me to a certain extent, because you know, you do fear that sooner or later something happens with our own team and you end up, you know, on a kind of sticky wicket a wee bit. But it's just such a frustrating situation, and a lot of the things it kind of feels like it could have been all preventable, really. And then you get to ultimately the point you were making at the end about the potential for the season being suspended. And I would hope with the kind of procedures and everything that they are doing with the testing, and that we're nudging along, we're more than halfway through now, that there isn't anything that kind of holds us up. But there is that lingering fear in the background. But just, you know, you're just hoping that everybody just plays the game, and so literally they can play the game.
For me, but there's two different arguments to this point. I agree with what Andy is saying completely there. Now, when we get the 6 points, I thought that's a bit harsh, particularly because Celtic and Aberdeen, the same fate didn't happen to them, so there was no consistency. But what's now starting to annoy me is that the St Mirren and the Kilmarnock are joining forces and they're citing Celtic's failings whilst in Dubai. But the main difference is Celtic went to Dubai, did what they did, and then they played the game with a second string against Hibs and still got a point, right? So there's the main difference. They still fulfilled their fixture. Or you could argue, oh, Celtic have got a bigger squad or whatever, right? But still, they still completed the fixture. So they've not added any congestion to the goings on. And whatever that inquiry brings out. For me, the worst thing that Celtic did was the ball and goalie thing. I don't think that the Dubai thing should be brought into this, to use as any sort of example. It should have been if the game was cancelled against Hibs and Hibs didn't want to play it. But I can't see what influence this should hold. I look at if it was us that easily could have been us or any team. I'm with you, Andy Ross. That is, I think that for easiness, that they'll make us replay the games. And now that they've got the fixtures with the Scottish Cup, see, to be honest, that is what it is. I think, no, let's just get it done. I think the most frustrating thing is that it's just the time, isn't it? The amount of time that it's taking. See, if they turn around and say to us, you need to play the game, then fair enough, but why is it need to take that long? I mean, the other thing is the Kilmarnock and the St Mirren in particular, it's almost making out that Motherwell are the bad guys. Hold on a minute, what if we actually did wrong? You know what I mean? Because we were happy that we had 6 points and it kind of took us out of the relegation dogfight, which affects your kind of psychology for the games and stuff like that. So I think that's what's left a wee bit of a bitter taste, that we're kind of made it to be the, oh, Motherwell are happy and they're moaning about losing the points that they didn't deserve. But none of this is anything that we've done.
I think that the other thing that really leaves a bitter taste here is, and now we don't know the outcome, so maybe I'm being a wee bit premature and being pissed off about this, but the St Mirren game that's been rearranged for Scottish Cup weekend is against Celtic, and it was meant to be played on the 3rd of March. Kilmarnock's game that's been rearranged was a midweek game, scheduled for the 10th of February against St Johnston. So essentially what's happening here is we're going to have two games outstanding that we're going to need to sandwich into a really busy schedule between just now, the middle of January, and I think it's the 3rd of March when the season is due to end, or we're due to play our final game before the split. How is that fair? We were prepared to play both games at the time. Now we're not actually getting the option to use our free weekends. There's no way that St Mirren Kilmarnock should have been allowed to rearrange these games prior to the appeal being heard. It just seems like we're going to be punished regardless. And there's nothing to say that we can't go to Kilmarnock and get the 3 points, or we can't go to St Mirren and get the 3 points if it has to happen. But I think that there's no foresight being used here whatsoever. They're just flying by the seat of their pants as always. They announced the decision to revoke the 6 points on a match day, on Boxing Day. Both ourselves and Hamilton were punished by this, but lost the points that we had been previously given. Found out about it as they're preparing for a big match. Where is the fairness? At the end of the day, St Mirren and Kilmarnock are the teams that have breached the rules here, but they don't seem to be feeling any consequences of this whatsoever. And if it ends up being a token fine, a slap in the wrist, they're also relegation rivals. And if they're able to actually get a heads up on us by playing games more spaced out than we are, I just don't see any fairness in it. And maybe I'm making a mountain out of a molehill there, but I think the scheduling for this season has been poor as it is. We're now going to have to squeeze in the Scottish Cup. I just don't see where the common sense is coming into this. I don't think that we should have had the League Cup in its form that it is just now. And again, that's going to come into play as well. You've got the League Cup semi-finals coming up. I think it's not this weekend, but the following weekend. So there'll have been league games moved then as well. We're going to end up with a massive headache here because things, as we all know, aren't clearing up anywhere near the way that it was anticipated it was going to. Numbers are beginning to stabilise, but they're stabilising at a very, very high rate. Already talk of lockdown throughout February. I don't really want to get the political side of how quickly we're going to be able to roll out this vaccination, but it certainly feels like at the moment that we're not winning the race against COVID. And this is all happening as well. I used the word exasperated earlier on, but it's just a scunner to see all this going on. And just the kind of the selectiveness when it comes to Scottish football and going with what should be going on. You look at League One and League Two as well. There's no figures that suggest there was more cases of COVID than players playing in Scottish League One and Scottish League Two. So
I think, but the League One and League Two, though, there's more less full time clubs, I think. So more players were likely to mix and go to different works and stuff like that, and I think that's possibly the factor in it. But I think one thing that we've not mentioned is, I think the other thing that's going to influence the outcome of this is that there's been, not to my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe there's been any other clubs punished by a point deficit of COVID breach. So I think that is something that's definitely going to influence the outcome of it.
That is. The problem is there's absolutely never been any set punishment in place. It seemed more rigid with the League Cup. And remember, Kilmarnock went out the League Cup because they had lost two games 3-0. I'm sure I'm right in saying that they had to forfeit two games in that competition. So it looks like, yet again, the fact that we've got two footballing authorities in Scotland as well really doesn't help, with SPFL and SFA seemingly not speaking to each other. It's beyond frustrating. And the fact that this appeal was held at 6 o'clock tonight, and now there's rumours that we're not going to hear anything until the start of next week, it's just been a piss take from start to finish. the how we've got to this situation. These games were scheduled for what was the middle of October, and we're still sitting here in the middle of January, none the wiser as to what's happening. It's an absolute shambles, and the way that they've dealt with this from start to finish has been nothing short of embarrassing. But I'll clarify that by saying that it's not surprising in the slightest.
Let's be positive, but see when you wake up Monday morning and we've got 3 points against Rangers, and then SFA have decided that we've got 6 points, we'll be 9 points better off, and we'll be looking up the table.
I genuinely hope that you turn up again next week and you're in the same fettle, because saying that just now, I sound unsettled by you, because I'm just not used to this version of you. But if it becomes a Nostradamus moment, then I'll certainly welcome it, and fingers crossed that will be the case. Guys, we'll wrap it up.
Soon change when Bobby Madden's announced as the referee for Sunday.
It can't all be positive. Right, guys, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time tonight.
Cheers again.
Pleasure.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back maybe next week, if not the following week. Until then, thank you and goodbye.